Let's start with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, just ask that your presence just fill this place, Lord, and help us to hear what's on your heart tonight, and help me to translate what's on your heart and communicate clearly. And we thank you for that ultimate sacrifice of your Son and the completed work that he did on the cross. And we give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. My title tonight is Return to My Word, the subtitle of Who Are You? When my oldest son was little, I used to grab him by the collar and I'd say, "Who do you think you are?" And he'd say, "I don't know." Progressed in my walk with the Lord, I came across some material about who we are in Christ and our identity in Christ. So I'll try to grab you all by the collar tonight and say, "Who do you think you are?" So hopefully, at the end of this, you have a better idea of who you are. There are those of you here tonight that are wondering, possibly, what are you doing wrong? What are you missing in your spiritual walk? What do you need to do? What on earth am I here for? Has anyone here ever asked any of those questions? One or six? Very good. I've asked myself those questions very often. What is it that I need to do, Lord? What am I missing? What is it? I know that I'm your child, but what am I missing? Well, apparently I have an answer for you tonight, because that's what the board says. Return to His Word. That's what I heard from the Lord, was return to His Word. I know that sounds simple, and I want to tell you a story about a time when I returned to His Word. I've struggled with addiction throughout my life. There was a time that I relapsed. I was so physically sick that I couldn't even stand up. Pain, "Lord, what do I need to do?" Every time I'd stand up, I'd get nauseous, then I'd have to lay back down on the ground. Return to My Word. Return to My Word. And I was like, no, that's... Sat there for 38 years and said, you know, "Do you want to be well?" And so that was really the question God was asking me that night, is, "Do you want to be well?" And I literally crawled on my hands and knees like an infant and grabbed my Bible off the shelf, pulled it down onto the floor, and flipped it open. And I couldn't tell you what I read that morning or that day. But if there's one thing I can say, if there's anything, just reading His Word. But it's Him speaking to us. Those of you that know Christ know that it is a relationship with a supernatural being. And we're stuck here. We're natural beings. We're stuck here on this earth and we see things. But we know an eternal God that is supernatural. And our relationship with Him is an ongoing process of giving of yourself and getting to know an invisible God that is all powerful. Second Corinthians 5:16. Here's a verse that kind of gets us away from the natural and back into the supernatural. Reads, "So we have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. At one time we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How differently we know Him now." Here's a verse that could be it's a very popular verse, and maybe you're familiar with it. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Out of the New Living Translations. "And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all He has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind He will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship Him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know what God's will for you, pleasing and perfect." Some people believe, including myself, that at the end of this verse where it says good, pleasing, and perfect, that there are different levels of God's will we can know. We can be a certain level of closeness to Him. We can be in His good will. We can know Him to a certain level. We can take it further, getting into the pleasing will of God, or we can get into the perfect will of God. And perfect here doesn't mean perfect, like you're perfect and you make no mistakes. It's the mature will of God. It's the epitome of your walk here. It's the height of your walk and the closeness of it. So when you're faced with things, faced with tough decisions, you can ask yourself, what do you want? What do you want for God's will for your life? Do you want just His good will? Do you want His pleasing will? Or do you want His perfect will for your life? I strive to go for the perfect will myself. A lot of times I fall and I just get into the good part, or I fall in the middle. Becoming a living sacrifice. We all know that sacrifices end in death, not life. In the Old Testament, when they gave sacrifices on the altar, they built a fire and they were consumed completely. So if we are to become a living sacrifice for God, then what is left of us? If we are a complete sacrifice of Him, we will be consumed, and there will be nothing left of us, and there will be what He has for us. The sacrifice of Jesus changes everything. His resurrection steals life from death, and it makes it possible for those who trust in Him to become a sacrifice and yet live. At altar, we become a living sacrifice. We are wholly consumed, but yet we still live. But how do we live? We do not live as before, wrapping ourselves in the world and its bankrupt values. We live in a constant renewal and transformation of our mind. This again here applies to Romans 12, 1 and 2. Becoming a living sacrifice of the five senses. Went back to addiction several times and relapsed. It was the five senses that were the most tempting. Even while I was preparing this, getting ready to do this last night, and I thought, all I need is just a little bit of that, and I'll be able to concentrate and focus and do this. And I entertained that thought, but that was appealing to my five senses. And I wanted to become, and still want to become, and be a living sacrifice for Jesus Christ, holy and consumed, living out that good, pleasing, and perfect will of God. Paul urges those who read and hear his letter to respond to the good news by offering their bodies. I grew up in the church, and there's this silly song, "Be careful little hands what you do, be careful little eyes what you see, for your Father up above is looking down in love." I can't tell you how many times I was tempted to do something, and that silly song came to my head. And I had to laugh because I thought, I wonder if my Sunday school teacher knew. The Spirit brought that to my remembrance, and in times when something looked really wonderful, five senses, either it appealed to my ears, to a music that I wanted to listen to that I knew wasn't good, to my eyes, to look at something that I wanted to look at, that my flesh wanted to look at, to consume it, and my hands and feet, to go places and to do things that I wanted to do. To sacrifice your five senses, that is being a living sacrifice. Again, what do we know about sacrifices? They end in death. Luke 9:24 says, "If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it." This is a verse that I prayed the prayer all the time. Lord, I'll give you my life. You can have my life. And I didn't know how. When we are talking about your life here, we are not talking about going to uses for life. Is the English equivalent of the word psyche, emotions. Our mind comes back to the five senses again. Comes back to being a living sacrifice. It's giving over what we want. Our will. It's a sacrifice of our will. What we want. What appeals good to us. And our emotions. I don't feel like doing that, God. I don't feel like this. I don't feel like that. I feel like doing this. Okay. This is not where I'm going to become some intellectual, pompous dork that talks down to you because I use a word like psyche. I want you to know that I'm a very real person that deals with the sacrifices of the five senses every day. And I bring that point up because I was preparing this. It was a very real temptation for me to run back to amphetamines. And I thought, I just need a little bit of amphetamines. That's all I need, and I'll be able to focus and concentrate. I didn't do it. And the entire thing would have been ruined. I wouldn't be standing here. The sacrifice that Jesus asked us to give is, and we're working into the mind, will, and emotions here. There are five senses on a daily basis, because that's sacrifice, but then tomorrow. I grew up in a charismatic church, nothing against that, but there was a lot of emotion involved. But when Monday morning came, I didn't have a foundation to stand on. I didn't have a good, clear understanding of what the Word said, what the completed work of Christ, of what He did, that I was not fighting for victory, but that I was already in a position of victory, that I was the head, not the tail. I was above, not beneath. If we truly sacrifice our five senses on a daily basis, we will become another person. Has anyone here seen the movie Master of Disguise? One, two. There's a great part in there. It's a ridiculous movie. Another person, basically. And he disguises himself in these ridiculous disguises. And you literally, if you knew me back then, I have become another person. I'm living proof of this, and I say that to give glory to God. Let's see, where are we going here? We will become another. It is literally who you are or how you see yourself. So I ask you, who are you? And I have a hand of who you are.
Thank you.
Certainly. Well, if you ask the question, who are you? Well, I'm Ben Palmer. Well, I'm a carpenter. Someone asked me, who are you? Well, I'm a carpenter. What we do. There was a time I believed I was an alcoholic and that I was going to be an alcoholic the rest of my life. Until someone boldly proclaimed the truth that alcoholism wasn't a disease, but it was a behavior. And I got really angry with this person. And I thought, you're ridiculous. I've already accepted this truth. But no, I'm a carpenter. That is just what I do. Well, who are you? I'm an American. No, that's just where you live. I'm a Packers fan.
Oh, wait. No.
Those of you that know me know I'm not a Packers fan. No, see, look, that is your displaced loyalty. Who are you? I'm an evangelical. I'm a Baptist. I'm a charismatic. I'm a
child of God.
Child of God, absolutely. Yeah. Amen. The only identity equation that works in God's kingdom is you plus Christ equals wholeness and meaning. This is from Neil Anderson's book, Victory Over the Darkness. No person can consistently behave in a way that's inconsistent with the way he perceives himself. Can I hand this out? Is there someone that could hand these out? If we're becoming a living sacrifice, if we're handing over our mind, will, and emotions, we cannot consistently behave in a way that's inconsistent with the way you perceive yourself. So how we perceive ourselves is what needs to change. And how we perceive ourselves is going to change by returning to God's Word. What we do. It is not what we do that determines whether I'm a carpenter, an American, a football fan, anything else. Who I am that determines what I do. It's not what I do that determines who I am. When I believed I was an alcoholic, I believed that's who I was, and so that's what I did. That was my perception. Your perception is your reality. If you have a twisted sense of reality, whether it's my whether it's the truth or not, that's your reality. So if you believe a lie about yourself, it becomes a truth that you believe, and that's how you see yourself. My perception is my reality. We can and do believe lies about ourselves. This comes in many forms. This comes from when we're children, from what our parents say about us. They hear parents say, oh, he's trouble. He's trouble. If you're a troublemaker, well, what do you think I did with that? I continue to be a troublemaker. You're the class clown. You're the class comedian. Well, I continue to be the class comedian. I continue to be the class clown. I took pride in that. That was who I thought I was. We become victims of self-deceit. And that becomes our reality. That becomes how we see ourselves. The enemy. He has no power over you. We have all power. A policeman out here directing traffic has the authority. Traffic. If a car runs him over, he had no power to stop that car, did he? All out here has the power to stop a car, but it has no authority. We have both the power and the authority. We can stop the lies of the enemy. Like a brick wall. Deceit. It is extremely powerful and can only be overcome by knowing the truth. Knowing the truth of God's word and who we are according to what God says. Here's another lie. Acceptance. Well, this is a truth, but a lie that we believe. Adam and Eve walked around in the garden completely accepted by God. But when they sinned, they need to belong. We belong to the Lord. We have that God-shaped vacuum that only He can fill. Innocence was replaced by guilt and shame. Therefore, we have a need for self-worth to be restored. When Adam and Eve sinned, what did they do? They hid. How ridiculous is that? How can you hide from God? And they just knowledge of their relationship with Christ. They lost that knowledge. They're people. And they knew that they couldn't. But when they sinned, they became. Their innocence was replaced by guilt and shame. All of a sudden, they realized they were naked. God asked them, who told you you were naked? Before they didn't know. Because of this, we have a need for self-worth to be restored. As self-worth can be restored by understanding who we are in Christ. And what it says about who we are. I don't know how many I have here. I think I have about 40. A long list, and I thought it'd be a little too much to read through. But here, let me just read through a few of these. This is what God says about who you are. I am the salt of the earth. I am the light of the world. I am a child of God. I am a part of the true vine, a channel of Christ's life. I am Christ's friend. I am chosen and appointed by Christ to bear His fruit. I am a slave of righteousness. I am enslaved to God. I am a son of God. God is spiritually my Father. I am a temple, a dwelling place of God. His Spirit and His life dwells in me. I am united to the Lord and am one spirit with Him. I am a member of Christ's body. I am a new creation. I am reconciled to God, and I am a minister of reconciliation, since I am a son of God. I am God's workmanship, His handiwork. I am a fellow citizen with the rest of God's family. I am righteous and holy. I am a citizen of heaven, seated in heaven right now. I am hidden because He is my life. I am chosen of God, holy and dearly loved. I am a son of a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession. I am an enemy of the devil. However, I am a child of God, and the evil one, the devil, cannot touch me. So if you belong to God tonight, Who we are determines what we do. I've given you a list of who you are in Christ. These are the things that are going to determine what you do. So again, I ask you, I'm not going to grab you by the collar, but who do you think you are?